Welcome back to The Analysis, a podcast focused on tech here in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. I'm Annalisa Gale, a five-time Emmy Award-winning journalist with a passion for sharing valuable information. I took a break for a few months to welcome a baby boy, but now I'm back. Let's get into this week's episode. I'm sitting down with D.C. native Tayo Adesanya to talk about his recent win at a pitch competition in Atlanta, known as InvestFest. The Purdue University alum is the founder and CEO of Lola Vision Systems, which is an AI chip making company. Let's take a listen.
We'll get started with how you got started in the first of all, in the tech world and how you got started with your startup.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me today. Been in engineering since I was in high school, really. Opening up the remote control and dealing with the stereo system in my trunk, the trunk of my car, trying to, you know, have some, what we call it, these subwoofers and connecting it to amplifiers and just trying to figure out how all that works, right? So I was a little kid in Best Buy just soaking up all the game from the guys that were selling those products and equipment. But I ended up going to Purdue University, studying electrical engineering technology there. I was very much a part of NSBE there, which is where, you know, NSBE was actually founded on the campus of Purdue University. So did a lot of the undergraduate student technical pitch competitions. And, you know, when I graduated, I decided to go into the semiconductor industry as opposed to going pro in track and field, because I was actually an All-American and a Big Ten champion as well.
Okay. Oh, wow. Pretty cool. Track and field is like one of my favorite sports. So, you know, it is, because I'm Jamaican. Obviously, I would love track and field. But anyways, yeah. So you went to Purdue and you got started in the electrical engineering?
Yeah, electrical engineering technology. You know, in fact, my sophomore year when I did NSBE and won that undergraduate student technical research competition, I also won the Big Ten championship in track and field in the same semester. The following year, I went on to become an All-American, top five in the country. And then Nigeria seen my name pop up, and I ended up going to Nigeria to compete for the national championship out there my junior year. So, yeah.
Very cool. Yes, my colleague was like, when he shared your name, she was like, oh, he's Nigerian. Very cool. Okay. So tell me a little bit about the startup and where it's at now. When did it get started? You know, where are you in the development process?
Yeah, sure. Started about 2 years ago. I was working at a company called Synopsys. They're one of the top EDA tool and IP providers in the globe when it comes to the semiconductor industry. And I just, you know, I seen a gap in terms of edge computing and what AI could be used in terms of infrastructure, you know, actually allowing products in different categories to be able to run AI models of all different kinds on device and not necessarily in a data center, but in more end consumer applications and industrial applications.
And so physically, what are we looking at here? If someone is, my tech stories, I try to break it down like I'm breaking it down to my mother, who does not really do tech. She does computers, but she's like not really into, she's still figuring out that. But let's just put it that way. So if I was explaining this to my mom, what are you looking at when we talk about your product?
Yeah, so I'm designing the chips that go inside and act as the brain of a car, a drone, industrial robots that's used in manufacturing facilities, anything that needs to perceive the world as a machine and make decisions from that product. And an example is, so this company, Glide Technologies, they create railway to road transportation. So it's like a cart that can actually, you know, work on existing railway infrastructure, and they can actually pull off and off-road onto a road and drive in the street as well. And so they have some capabilities that they need to be able to understand and comprehend via the cameras on board what's going on so that things can align correctly and et cetera. So my chip processes that sensor data on the device and then spits out the instructions that the car or whatever vehicle needs to use.
Yeah, there's been a big push to make sure chips are designed in America as opposed to in China. I've noticed that as well. How did you get into the chip making business? And what are you finding in terms of sourcing the products that you need to make the chips?
Yeah, so I've been in the chip making business since I graduated from Purdue. So 2011, I went straight to a company called ON Semiconductor. ON Semiconductor. And there I was a sales engineer, and the products that I was selling were chips of all kinds, but sometimes I would also have to sell the custom chip design services so that companies that needed tweaks to chips that they really wanted would come to me and we'd make some adjustments and then we'd manufacture or fab those chips either in-house or through foreign manufacturing services. Now, for the chips that I'm doing, I'm working with domestic fab companies like Global Foundries to be able to develop them here within the United States.
Okay. And so your idea in terms of your product, are you starting to produce and sell it to other places right now, other companies?
Yeah. So, you know, we're in the early stages of prototyping and sharing what it is that we can provide to different manufacturers that are our customers. So Glide being one of them, right? And there are a few other drone manufacturers and Department of Defense companies that are building products of all kinds that see our devices and then, you know, we'll work with them to create the sale. But the chip design and development process is something that, now, normally it takes 2 to 3 years if you're going to do it right. We're doing everything in our ability to shrink that timeline. And we're leveraging all different types of AI tools and expert talent around, you know, this country that can enable us to do that.
And so how did you come up with the company name?
To be honest, I was just thinking of legacy and my daughter at the time. Her name is Lola, so I just decided to just put the vision behind it just because I felt like, you know, kids are the future and they tend to see things that we don't, even at their very young age. So that's just kind of the play on words that I put to create the business.
Very nice. Lola Visions. Is it vision or visions?
Vision systems.
Vision systems. Yeah. Perfect. I like it. And so in terms of timeline now, you said it takes about 2 to 3 years. When do you think you'll wrap up
the design? I've already been doing a lot of prototyping and what we call modeling and simulations. So we actually will have our first chip back mid to late 2026, right? And then we'll be in full production by 2027, shipping to multiple different categories and domains.
And are you making all your products right here in the U.S.?
Yeah, no, we're not dealing with no foreign allies or no foreign services for our development process. We try to be strategically aligned with what can be considered ITAR compliant, which is just the way in which we can work within like the secret or trusted design flow, if you have, within the country. So that makes us a lot more attractive for internal or potential classified elements.
And to be even more specific, are you just starting to make some of or use some of the products or make it here in the DMV? Is it something that you're trying to make more DMV based as well? Or do you have to get it from the US?
Yeah, my team is distributed. And there are some folks that we are working with. In fact, My COO is based here in DC. A lot of the communication that we have to have with Capitol Hill and some of the folks at the White House, we've been doing that right here. So I think there is a base here that we'll continue to have. But we're also working in Atlanta, LA, and of course the Bay Area. And also Austin. Austin is also growing as a strategic area for us to grow our team and our resources.
Yeah, this is definitely a growing tech hub, but I could see how other tech hubs can be very helpful to your business as well. Tell me about InvestFest. How did it feel to win that pitch competition?
InvestFest was amazing. Really shout out to the Earn Your Leisure folks, as well as the Opportunity Fund led by Paul Judge. And Chris Harris also, reached out and he made the opportunity available to me. And when I got the call, if asking if I wanted to pitch, I said of course, and I showed up and we were able to get a win. It was a very, I mean, the InvestFest had over 25,000 people there. It was the largest room I've ever pitched in front of, for sure. And I've been pitching for a little while, but I was glad I was able to, have that kind of effect on the crowd that I didn't think, I wasn't sure if the technology that I was sharing was gonna like be missed or not, attractive to them. But they definitely gravitated towards what I was sharing, and I was just happy to see that. And my mom was in the crowd too, so it was great.
Yay, go mom. No, sometimes tech can go over people's heads. And I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes even when I'm looking for stories, I may have avoided a story like yours just because it's not something people can grasp easily. I'm gonna have to explain it to them in the lowest, most basic form. So I understand what you're saying. So what was the basic way that you went about pitching it? What did you tell them?
Well, what I've realized is that, we're not a monolithic people. There are a lot of people who actually indeed want to learn about the tech, and it's, it'd be a disservice to pretend like I can't give them something, like to educate them about something that is necessary. But what I think helped is just sharing how the opportunity is so prevalent. When it comes to dollar signs, we know that. I mean, it's InvestFest. Folks are trying to figure out where to park their money and grow it. And the semiconductor industry has been one of the best returns that you can find in the history of business. I mean, you see what's happening with Nvidia. And so as folks are looking at that, they're like, okay, what else is available out there? What other technologies and things should we be looking at? And I just wanted to give them another lens. For somebody, that looks like myself is pursuing and has been pursuing for 14 years, right? So it's not like I'm new to this. I'm just, newly bringing people on board this journey.
So what was your elevator pitch, as they call it?
My elevator pitch, Lola Vision Systems being an AI chip design company, we're leveraging chiplet SoCs. And, in my pitch, I just shared, that these chiplets are just cut down Lego blocks of the chip itself. Traditionally, when you design and fab a chip, a monolithic chip, which is one die piece, there's a lot of challenges with that. So for us, we divided that monolithic chip into chiplets, and each chiplet has its own function, right? And so we can swap out functions like Lego blocks, right? According to what the end application requires. So if you have a drone application versus, a ground vehicle, they're going to need very different things, although they may still require some of the same functions. So we can get economies of scale with the chiplets that make sense for all these different, applications. So yeah, that was a majority of what I was pitching. And I didn't try to go too deep in the weeds on how each of those functions or blocks differ from everything else, But, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to computer vision and secure communication, that is the core capabilities that I'm bringing to edge devices.
And what makes your company so different from all these other chip making companies?
Well, what makes us really different is the fact that we're able to leverage IP a lot faster, and we're working with a lot more partners to pick and choose the IP that makes sense for the application. For other large semiconductor manufacturers, they typically have, you know, what they call a moat. They want to do everything in-house, even the Boeings of the world. Like, they like to design here, and I think that's a missed opportunity. So for us, we're leveraging a community of IP providers that have reliable and mature capabilities, or just new capabilities that we currently don't have a fit within any kind of ecosystem for. And an example for that would be like the ability to smell, right? I have a friend and a colleague or partner that has created a new smell sensor. Okay, how do you bring that into a system and now enable the world to be able to detect biological threats, you know, that exist in, you know, maybe like there's some fentanyl somewhere. You want to be able to sense that, right? So, like, bringing new capabilities, bringing new IP within this chiplet format is something I think that differentiates me considerably.
Okay. And the AI aspect, how are you leveraging AI right now within your company?
Oh, I'm using AI every day, from the emails that I send to the marketing materials that I create. But as far as the chip itself, it's actually meant to run AI models, much like a ChatGPT or computer vision models. They call them vision transformers. That's a new. So if you consider ChatGPT, the T stands for transformer. So that's a kind of style of AI, and so we run that directly on our chipsets within the systems themselves. And there's a lot of different forms and ways we use AI. It's never the same, but we try to keep learning, you know, and we try to keep, you know, looking at different ways to give us an advantage to get work done, you know.
Great. And in terms of, you know, you talked a little bit about just your background being an athlete before you got into the tech world. What has it been like, you know, to do that big, it's not a huge transition for you anymore. You've been doing it for 14 years, but what was that transition like at first? And what's your message to maybe some athletes out there who want to do the same switch?
Yeah, I think I had the benefit of knowing that I enjoyed engineering, electrical engineering, at least at that early age. So I didn't feel like I had to pick, really. So my advice would be to go ahead and do both. You're not, you know, you don't have to be pigeonholed to do one thing. I think I took the chance on being the best athlete I could be, and I did very well at that. But, you know, I also was in the books and trying to do what I can to learn about the trade of engineering very deeply, because, you know, I know as an athlete that someday that was going to stop, and, you know, what was going to be my fallback. And so engineering just happened to be that thing. However, there is a point where you do have to make a decision. And, you know, there was a point where I had an NBA D-League, it was D-League at the time, contract, and I had to decline it because I was already, you know, making six figures doing the job that I was doing in the chip industry. And I just felt like the upside was much more in that lane than this lane. So that's what allowed me to make my decision for myself. But yeah, you know, life's all about choices and decisions, and we are not a monolithic people. We can do multiple things. We can walk it and chew gum, you know?
Very true. And so just some background about you. Where did you grow up? What should people know about your history? I hope we know you're Nigerian.
I was born in Northwest DC, right
That was
here.
very cool.
I was born here. I was in, we moved to Maryland for a few years. When I was 10 years old, ended up moving to Chicago. Lived in the inner city for a couple years and moved to the west suburbs, Naperville, Illinois, before I ended up going to Purdue.
Okay, very cool. So Northwest DC, Chicago, Illinois. Okay, a little bit of everything. That's good. That's good. Well, it was so nice to talk to you.
Thanks for listening. You can find me on social media on all social channels at Annalisa Gale. Until next time.